Proverbs chapter number 19. And as I prayed about knowing this occasion coming, that Pastor wanted me to fill the pulpit for him, thankful for the opportunity, and I want the Lord to use it. And I know this is the message that he has for us tonight as we look to Proverbs in chapter number 19. I was talking to Wes Murphy before the service, and just in conversation, he gave me the nickname Wendy. And that's because I did the senior meeting on Friday afternoon this last week, and apparently he thought it was long. So I told him I'm going to make him pay for that tonight. So now I'm just joking. So, one verse, Proverbs chapter number 19, verse number 20. The Bible says this, Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 20, "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end." One more time. "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. Lord, we come to you with grateful hearts, Father, for what you've done for us, Lord, for salvation, for the freedoms we have in you, the freedoms we have in this country to come and worship you. Lord, we thank you so much for that tonight. And Father, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts tonight. Thank you for these dear people, Lord, that have taken the time to be here tonight. And Lord, I pray that we would just receive from you what you have for us tonight. Lord, I ask that you would, Father, please fill me with your Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would just bind the devil from distracting in this room, anyone in this room. Lord, I pray that I would just be your mouthpiece, Lord, and only say those things that you'd have me to say. Lord, I pray that you would, again, just fill me with your Spirit. And I pray that you'd be with this service, Lord. I pray all that's said and done would bring you honor and glory. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So as we look at this, chapter number 19 and verse number 20, I want to ask you just one question. Who wants to be wise? Who wants to be wise? And I think as we ask that question, the answer is pretty obvious, that most of us or all of us would say, well, absolutely, Brother Aaron, that's me. I want to be wise. In the late 1990s and on into the early 2000s, and I guess it's still around now, but there was a very popular game show on television, and that game show was Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And as you look at that and you ask yourself that question, well, duh, who doesn't want to be a millionaire? That's kind of a crazy question there, but obviously, yeah, everybody wants to be a millionaire. And on that show, originally, they sat down with Regis Philbin, and he would sit with them and ask them 15 questions. And each question would inch them closer to that million-dollar prize. And if you guys remember that, they had the three lifelines. They could phone a friend, they could do the 50-50, or they could poll the audience and find out what their answer is. And as you think about that, the goal of that is to win $1 million, and someone looks at a lump sum like that of $1 million and says, no doubt that has great value. No doubt that is very, very important. No doubt that's something that, of course, if you would ask that question, who wouldn't want that? That's something that absolutely everybody would want. And so that show, of course, had its run for a long time. What was interesting was the very first millionaire was in 1999. His name was John Carpenter. I don't know if anybody ever saw this. But when he got to the last question, he had used no lifelines at all, and he got to the very last question. Regis asked him the last question, and he says, I'd like to use a lifeline. I'd like to call my dad. And he calls his dad, and he talks to his dad. He says, Dad, I actually don't need your help. I just want to let you know I'm going to win the $1 million. And he says, this is my final answer, and gave it and won the $1 million. And everybody, of course, goes crazy. And there it is. He has that. Now, as we look at that and we think, man, I'd love to be on a TV show like that. I'd love to have $1 million. I'd love to have something of that kind of value. I know that I could get that. I know that's something that I could get pretty easily. I'm a smart guy. I can attain that. Can I tell you tonight that there's something far more valuable available to you than $1 million, and that is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is available for each and every one of us tonight. As we sit here in this place, we have in front of us, available at any opportunity, around every corner of God's Word, is His wisdom, the wisdom of God. And so I'm going to ask you that question as you look at this, who wants to be wise? And as you think about that, the question is, who doesn't want to be wise? How could someone not want to be wise? As I said, wisdom is far more valuable than any amount of money. But the thing of it is, just like the $1 million, they didn't just give it away. Now, on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, someone didn't say, well, I want to be a millionaire. And they said, all right, well, there you go. It's yours. You can have it. That's not the way it worked. They had to earn their way through it. They had to follow some guidelines and meet the requirements in order to have it. And yes, I know that the Bible says, if any man ask wisdom of God, let him ask wisdom of God. If you lack wisdom, just ask it and God will give it. But I also understand through the book of Proverbs that there are quite a few stipulations that go along with it. God just isn't going to give it just because you want it. He's going to give it to those that are earnestly seeking it and those that even meet these requirements here in verse number 20 in chapter number 19 of Proverbs. As we know in this passage, in the entire book of Proverbs is filled with wisdom. Solomon writing to his son and trying to give him wisdom and wanting to give him instruction and wanting to teach him and wanting to help him. And this is entirely the book of Proverbs. Mostly what it's about is that of wisdom and attaining it and how to have it. In fact, if you look back to chapter number 1 and verse number 1, it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Of course, we go on and continue to read, but the overwhelming theme of the book of Proverbs to his son is that of wisdom. And having wisdom and obtaining wisdom and wisdom being a part of our lives. Now, we could do an entire series if we wanted to on wisdom, and that's something that certainly could take a lot of time. As you look into that, the Bible is filled with it, but if you contained it just to the book of Proverbs, there's some several things that jump out of that when we talk about wisdom. And I would say, hey, who doesn't want wisdom? I want that. When we talk about wisdom, it says in Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 6, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Wisdom comes from God. If I'm going to have wisdom, the kind of wisdom that's going to change my life, the kind of wisdom that's going to direct my life, it's going to come from only one source, and that's God Himself. Also, wisdom is more valuable than any money or possession. We've already said that, but in Proverbs 8:11, it says, "For wisdom is better than rubies, and the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." Far more precious than precious stones, far more valuable than any amount of money is that of wisdom. It's more valuable than anything else. It's what God's Word is revealing to us. As you go on and think about wisdom, in Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 13, tells us that wisdom brings joy and happiness. It says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." Proverbs 4:7, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom with all thy getting." Get understanding. Can I tell you, the most important thing for a Christian to have is the wisdom of God. It says it's the principal thing. It's the most important thing, the wisdom of God, to have wisdom. And wisdom's to be sought after. Proverbs 18:1 says, "Through desire a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom." Now, I hope today that you would say, "Yeah, Brother Aaron, I want to be wise. I want to be wise." Not only that, I want to be wise, as this says back in Proverbs chapter number 19, as you read that verse, it says, to hear counsel and receive instruction. Why? For what purpose? That thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. As we sit here today, I want you to understand that when it says being wise in thy latter end, it doesn't mean that the wisdom is delayed until the end. That's not what it means. It's talking about the wisdom until thy latter end is going to be carried through from the point that the instructions or the counsel that's given in this first part of the verse is followed until the end of time. Wisdom will be obtained and maintained because of that. So we can sit here today and say, you know what? Yes, I want wisdom. Who doesn't want wisdom? And I can have that wisdom both now and through the end of my life. It's something that can go on forever. And so as we sit here and we say, well, yeah, Brother Aaron, I'd love to have wisdom. But in order to be wise, there's two things that this verse reveals. Verse number 1, first of all, in verse number 20, in chapter number 19, the first thing is this. It says, hear counsel. Hear counsel. If I want to be wise in my latter end, if I want to be wise, then the first thing here it says is to hear counsel. Now, as we look at that and we see what it says there, the question may arise, first of all, well, what does it mean to hear? What does it mean to hear? Now, when it says hear counsel in this passage here, I want you to understand that it's not talking about just the physical act of hearing, all right? It's not talking about the sound waves entering into your ears and bouncing around and sending signals to your brain that's receiving some kind of a message to let you know that the sound has been received. All right, we understand that as hearing. We know what hearing is in that sense. But in this word here, this particular word, the definition in the Hebrew talks about literally being able to hear intelligently. Hear intelligently, or to actively hear And then I'll tell you this, so there's a big difference between hearing and hearing intelligently. If I could put it this way, it's not just saying to hear counsel, it's saying to listen to counsel. I think we'd agree today that there is a big difference between hearing something and listening to something. And as the Bible's saying here, it says here, of course it uses the word hear, but it's carrying more weight to it than just that. It's saying hear counsel or listen to counsel. Now, let's be honest, we've all done it before, where we have heard someone talking, or we've heard something going on, or we've heard some kind of instruction, or we've heard something directed towards us. Like, we know the sound is bouncing around our ears, the signals are going off, that there is sound there. But you and I know very well that although we might hear it, we're not listening. In fact, if you asked us to repeat it back what was just said, we couldn't even tell you. Has anybody ever done that, or am I the only one? 7 people have done that. That's great to see. I appreciate your honesty. The rest I'll expect to see at the altar here in just a minute. But there's a difference between hearing and listening. Let me give you just a few quick examples in to help establish this, okay? Husbands, you're watching a football game, and you're in the recliner, and it's the heat of the battle. The game's going on, and you're watching it, and your wife is in the kitchen, and she gives you some admonishment or asks you to do something, and nothing but silence, and you just keep watching it. And then she says something again. She says, "Did you hear me?" "Well, yeah, I heard you. I heard you. What'd I just say? Can you repeat it back to me? Because you guys know what I'm talking about. There's a difference. Yeah, we heard it, the sound. We know the voice came, but we didn't listen. Or how about this, okay? You don't get off so easy, women. All right? You're standing in front of the mirror getting ready. All right? And I know this is a big ordeal for women. They've got to make sure everything's perfect, and I appreciate that. Your husbands appreciate that. There's nothing wrong with that. But they're in the mirror. They're fixing their hair. They're blow-drying things, and you might say something to them, and they hear it. It bounces around their ears. They recognize a voice, but there's no listening that's going on. They can't repeat to you what's been said. They are more focused on what's at the task at hand instead of listening. Or what about a child or a teenager when they've got this in front of their face? And they're texting, or they're looking at pictures, or they're watching a video on YouTube, and they're doing that, it's right there in front of their face, and you as a parent, or you as a grandparent, or you as an adult, give them some kind of instruction, or ask them to do something, or tell them to do something, and it's like nothing even happens. You know they heard you. In fact, you've taken them to the doctor even to get their hearing checked just to be sure that they can hear you. But I'm telling you this, although they hear you, let's be honest, they're not listening. They're not listening. You know, this. What was funny about this is this was kind of on my mind last week, and on Thursday I went home in the afternoon before youth, and Brady was all pumped and excited about the men and boys camp out that we just had on Friday and Saturday night. We're talking about what he wanted to eat, and so I had to go to the store and get the menu, what we're going to do, what we're going to pack, and all that. And so as we're headed up the stairs, I'm in front of him, he's behind me, and we're kind of talking about it, and then I hear Becky say something to Brady. Says something to him about some things he needs to gather together and get to pack, and I keep walking, and I walk into my bedroom, and I turn around, and Brady's right there with me. And I said, "Brady," I said, "was Mommy just talking to you?" And he says, "Yeah." "Well, what did she say?" "I don't know." So he turns around, he walks back to the top of the steps, "Mommy, what did you want me to do?" And of course, another illustration of that. You know, I could go on and on. You think about the student in the class, you think of the Charlie Brown teacher with a wah, 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 wah. Yes, the hearing is happening, but there's no true listening. And so Solomon is telling his son right here, he says, "Hey, I don't want you just to hear, I want you to listen. I want you to listen, I want you to hear intelligently." And what's great is he gives them what to listen to. What to hear intelligently, he says this in this verse number 20, he says, "Hear counsel." Hear counsel. So he's saying, "Son, I want you to listen. I want you to actively engage in. I want you to intelligently hear counsel." And counsel is advice or plans or direction. And as we understand that, as you would read into the next verse, you see that the counsel that he's talking about is not man's counsel. It's not the world's counsel. It's the counsel of God. And so in saying, son, I want you, if you want to be wise in your latter end, if you're going to have wisdom as a part of your life and have it interwoven into the fabric of your life, then son, you have to make sure that you not only listen, but you listen to the counsel of God. You listen to the advice or the direction that God has for you. So God wants us to intelligently hear His counsel, His advice. Let me ask you this question tonight. Do you want to hear God's advice? Do you want to hear God's advice? Listen, oftentimes we enjoy advice from other people. We'll ask for it. We want to know what they think about this or what they think about that. Can I tell you this? That God has given you His advice for you on life, and it's found right here in this book that we call the Bible. In these 66 books known as the Bible, God has given to Him everything He wants us to know about Him, everything He wants us to know about ourselves, everything He wants us to know about how to conduct this life here on earth. It's found within Scripture, and I call that the wisdom of God. And it's right there, and He says, hey, hear it. Listen to it intelligently. It's right there in front of you. God is giving us His advice from His Word. Listen to 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So as I say this tonight, God wants to give you His advice through His Word. God wants you to hear His advice. He wants you to listen to it. He wants you to actively think about it and engage in it and apply it to your lives. He's got it there for you, but I'll tell you this, that the world has advice for you too. The world has got some advice for you too, and it's speaking to you that advice as well. God is speaking His advice to you through His Word, and the world is speaking their advice to you through all kinds of mainstream media and type of things like that. It's out there. It's speaking to our hearts and our minds. It's telling us what to think about love, what to think about life, what to think about faith, what to think about family, what to think about money or possessions or priorities. It's all there. You turn on the television, you watch the news, and it's telling you what to think about things. It's telling you what to think about life. It's telling you what to think about what's going on in Kentucky with the county clerk. It's telling you what to think about what's going on in the Supreme Court and the rulings on what family is and what marriage is and is not. I'm telling you, if God's the designer of marriage, then He's the definer of it as well. And so I'm telling you, if you turn on the news and you look at that, it's going to pump it into your mind, advice and what to think about certain things. And I'm telling you, in order to tune that out, we have to tune ourselves into God's Word. It's there through news, it's there through TV shows and movies telling us what to think and how to live and what's acceptable and what's normal and a life to even try to attain. It's there through social media, through our education system, through friends, through family, through peer pressure. It's around every corner. The world is giving its advice. You know what's amazing to me is this, is that here is the world standing and yelling and proclaiming their advice and trying to give it to you, and God is over here with a still small voice saying, it's right here in My Word. It's right here in My Word. All you have to do is listen. All you have to do is actively hear, and it can be yours. So I ask you this. Are you intelligently hearing the counsel of God? The advice that God has for you, are you intelligently hearing it through His Word? Do you have a walk with God? What about your Bible reading, your time reading the Word of God? Here's what often happens, I think, with Christians, and it's unintentional, I know that. But oftentimes we think we're listening to the Word of God as we read it, but we're really only hearing it. And that although, yes, we sat down and we read it, and we can check off a little box that says we did the passage we were supposed to do for that day, or we've made ourselves good on our accountability partner and say, yep, I read it today. But as we close that book, as we walk away from that Bible, we have no idea what we just read. We can't even say what God spoke to our heart about. We can't even recall one thing that God burned into our heart to carry with us through that day. Can I tell you, although you might have heard God's Word, you weren't listening. You weren't listening. And I think that we've all been in a situation like that, whether we're just going through the groove or we're following the motions or we're kind of just doing what's expected, and we find ourselves closing the Bible after a time with God and realizing, you know what, I didn't get all I could. I didn't hear actively, intelligently. I didn't listen to all that God had for me. Are you getting everything you can out of God's Word, out of reading it? Are you getting everything you can out of the lessons and the sermons that you hear on a weekly basis? This also is true And I know this has happened to everyone in this room, and if it's never happened to you, then you are far better than I. Where you sit through a sermon, listen to it, hear it, and you even know the passage, and you walk out, and then somebody asks you that wasn't in there, maybe they missed it, well, what was the message about? And you go, let me think. Oh, I know it's Ephesians. Something about God and Jesus and the Bible. That's the standard answer if you didn't know, okay? So, and I know we're laughing about that, but I think we've all been there before. But how sad is that? We showed up to get a message from God. We showed up not just to hear a sermon. We showed up to listen to a message from Almighty God, and we walked out having gotten nothing out of it. That's not the preacher's fault. That's not God's fault. That's our fault. God wants us to listen, to hear, act. If I'm going to be wise until the latter end, then I have to make sure I'm doing my part to apply myself and to listen to what God has for me through His Word. So if the preaching is the most important thing, and it is, we should treat it as such. As you think about this, here's just real quickly, and we'll move on from here, some things that can help you get the most out of preaching and teaching. First of all, you got to be here. If you're going to get the most you can out of the preaching and teaching of God's Word, if you're going to listen to the counsel of God actively and intelligently, hear it, then you've got to be here. You've got to be present in church. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. You know what happens is you know, sometimes you might follow a television show, maybe something on HGTV, and you're following along the episodes, and maybe you even watch them live, but all of a sudden you know you're going to miss one, and because you're going to miss it, you know what you do? You record it. You say, I'm not going to miss it. Even if I can't watch it live, I'm going to record it. I'm going to watch it later. You know, the same thing can happen in church. You know, I understand there's going to be times where we cannot make it to church. There's going to be times where we can't hear the preaching of God. There's going to be times where somebody's sick or there's something going on. There's something that absolutely keeps us from being church, but that doesn't stop us from the ability to go back and listen to it later, to go back and watch it later. I'm just saying that we've got to be here, and if we can't be here, we've got to get it some way. But if we're here, we have to prepare our heart for the message. We have to prepare our heart for the message. I love it. Pastor says, if you're ready to worship the Lord this morning, say amen. And everybody says, amen. And the pastor says, nope, we're going to do this again. If you're ready to worship the Lord this morning, say amen. And then everybody says amen really loud because they've never heard him do it a third time, and they're not going to try that day to see if he says it a third time. And I'm joking about that, but there is truth to that. There is truth to that. We come to church, as I said, we don't come just to hear a sermon. We come to listen to a message from God. And so I want to prepare my heart for it. I want to make sure I'm ready for it. You know, I like to watch big games. And when I watch big games, I like to make sure I'm ready for it. I like to prepare. I invite people over. I make sure the menu is set just right. We've got the TV going and the sound system going and everything just perfect and preparing myself for it and looking forward to it. The preparation is there because it's important to me. I'm telling you, the preparation should be there for church because it's important to us. I'm going to prepare myself by getting enough sleep the night before. I'm going to prepare myself by singing praises to God during the worship service. I'm going to prepare myself by shutting my mouth and listening during the message time and allowing God to speak to my heart. Can I tell you this? What also help us to get the most out of the preaching and teaching and to hear the counsel and not just hear it but listen to it is to minimize distractions. Minimize distractions. You know, if you're sitting somewhere and there's someone that's always near you or around you that's distracting you like crazy, it is allowed for you to move. Okay? And I know that we like our same spots, but if you're in a spot and somebody around you is distracting you over and over again, find a different spot. All right? I like sitting up front here because I've only got three rows of teenagers to distract me. And I'm easily distracted. I can never sit in the back. If I sat in the back, I would be terribly distracted. But minimize distractions. Even this. You know, we say it to have our phones put on silent before the church service. We say that not just because of the interruption of the preaching that goes on, but the interruption of the listening that goes on. Because what happens is this, is although it might be just a little tiny ding or a little tiny vibrate, or maybe you're even using your phone or your iPad as a Bible, and there's if you want to do that, that's between you and God. I'm not saying that's wrong or right or anything like that, but if you use that, and one little notification shows up, and all of a sudden your mind's thinking about that. One little score notification comes up, and you wonder, oh, the Colts are playing right now. I wonder who just scored a touchdown. And you're distracted. All I'm saying is this, is if we're going to actively hear God's word, we have to make sure, we have to make certain that we have prepared ourselves adequately and we minimize distraction. But God doesn't want us just to hear his word. He wants us to do his word. James 1:22, be doers of the word and not hearers, only deceiving your own selves. You know what really makes the difference between a Christian that is truly following after the things of God and a Christian that's just going through the motions? It's the application of God's truths to their life. That they have taken what they've heard, they've taken what they've listened actively to, and they've applied it to their heart and their life. And that's what makes the difference. So as we hear God's counsel, God's advice, it will direct our course. The second thing and last thing is this. He says, hear counsel and receive instruction. In order to be wise, you need to receive instruction. Now, we look at this and receive is pretty obvious here. To receive something means to take it in, to accept it. All right, you received gifts. You receive things in the mail. You receive a pass. If you're playing toss, you receive it. You've received things before. So that's accepting it, and that's taking it in. But God tells us here, I've got something for you to accept and for you something you need to take in, and that is instruction. Now, you might be sitting here and say, Brother Aaron, do we really need to hear all that again? The instruction, counsel, same thing. Well, I beg to differ. Because as you look at this instruction and the definition there that's involved in the word used there, it is talking about chastisement. It's talking about correction. It's talking about some of the discipline that comes through God's word. And so the Bible's telling us not only to listen to the counsel that God has for us or the advice that God has for us, but it says also accept the correction that comes along with it. The correction that comes along with God's word, the preaching and teaching of God's word. As I said, God's word is profitable for many things. Listen again to 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so God's word is profitable for our correction. Can I tell you, sometimes God's word and the preaching and teaching of it offers advice and direction for our lives. We sit there and we say, you know what, that'll help. That kind of illuminates the path in front of me. That kind of helps me see the next step that I'm supposed to take. And that's there, and I see that as advice. I see that as counsel. But I got to tell you this, that sometimes God gives us his word and through a message, and it offers correction or warning that we just need to accept and learn from it. There's a difference. There's a difference. Now, I think we all agree with this tonight, that nobody likes to be corrected. No one likes to be told that they're wrong. Nobody likes to be shown or to prove that they're wrong. But I can say this, that sometimes it's necessary. Sometimes it's necessary. You know, sometimes that correction can come through the reading of God's word. And we're sitting down and we're having our daily time with God, or we're having time with our family around God's word. And as we sit down and we open God's word and we begin to read that we come across a verse and we read that verse, and then God pricks our heart. He says, you know what? This is for you. You know, this is for you because you've been acting this way, or you've been thinking this way, or you've had a problem with this, or you've been saying this, or you've been doing that. And then it's like the Holy Spirit just smites our heart and says, this verse is right here for you. This is not there for advice. This is there for your correction. You're wrong. And this is what needs to be made right. Now, trust, if you spend any time in God's word at all, you've been there as well, where you sit there and you read that, and it's kind of like, whew, I need to sit back for a second, because that's me. That's me. That verse right there, that's for me. You know, as we see that and as we read that, the Bible says, and this is what Solomon is saying to his son. He says, yes, of course, I want you to hear or to listen to counsel, but I want you to receive and to accept instruction or correction. Amen. We read that and we say, well, that's for me. I need to take that. I need to accept that. You know, sometimes as well, it comes through the preaching and teaching of God's word. Is that the preacher's up there and he's preaching, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit of God comes and swoops down on our hearts and parks right there and says, you know, this point that the preacher is making right here, this point's for you. You need to realize that something's wrong, that something's not right, that something has to be confessed right here, and the Holy Spirit reveals it unto us, and there it is, the correction's there. And sometimes it can come even from spiritual leadership in your life, where somebody has to say something or correct you, and that correction is there. But we have a choice to do something with that instruction or that correction. You have to choose whether to accept it or to reject it, to receive it or to reject it. You know, some people will refuse to admit they're wrong. That's kind of their MO in life, that I'm not going to admit that I'm wrong. I'm not going to accept that I'm wrong, and I'm not going to accept any kind of correction. In fact, those type of people have a reason or excuse to explain why it is that way. And what's sad is some people take that approach to God and His Word. You know, and I'm not wrong. That preacher, he twisted that verse. That's not what it says. No, you know, God, we live in a day of grace, and God looks at me with eyes of grace, and He doesn't look at that, and that might be there for my correction, but that's just not necessary. That's not for me. I'll tell you this, you can choose whether to receive it or reject it, but you cannot choose the consequences that come along with it. You can say, you know what, that's not for me, or no, I'm not going to respond, or no, I'm not going to do anything about that. We could look at the Bible full of those that rejected the correction from God and His Word and where it led them. And you might sit here and say, all right, brother, I'm going to listen to God's Word. I'm going to listen to advice and counsel, but sometimes I'm just not going to accept or receive the correction that comes along with it. Can I tell you that you cannot have one without the other? You want to be wise in thy latter end, then you hear counsel and you receive instruction. So when it comes to instruction or to correction, let me tell you this, don't take it personal. Don't think, oh, God's got it out for me, or that preacher, he just knows what's going on in my life, and so he's that's why he's parking on that verse. Don't take it personal. Respond to it. Respond to it. Receive it. Accept it. You can come to the altar and confess it to God and ask for His help and for His forgiveness or for His direction and come and get it right with God. But also, you ought to thank God for His correction. You know, I'm thankful for God's correction in my life because that shows me that He's not done with me. That shows me He's not giving me over to some reprobate mind. That shows me that He's still doing work in my life. He still cares about me. He still loves me. And because He loves me, He corrects me with His Word. Amen. As we receive instruction, it will correct our course. So counsel or God's advice directs our course, and instruction or rebuke or correction corrects our course. The correction or rebuke in and through God's Word is there for our protection. It's there for our protection. It's there to keep us from going off the edge. It's there to keep us on the right path and to correct us in this life. You know, you take your kids bowling, I've taken my kids bowling before, and as you go there, and of course, you know, on either side of the lane is the dreaded gutter. All right, and many people find that on a regular basis. But to help our kids avoid the gutter, you know what we do? We pull out the bumpers. All right? Now, how many of you adults, you bowl with the bumpers? Okay, no one's going to admit that, but I'm sure I know better. But no, those bumpers are there to keep that ball from going in the gutter, to keep it from going off the edge and to going to a goose egg or to a zero. I want you to think about this. God's Word is there not only for our counsel, our advice, but it's there for our correction. It's there to keep us from going off the edge. It's there from keeping us from going into the gutter. So I'm telling you, if you're sitting here tonight and you say, Brother Aaron, I want to be wise. Well, that's great. I want to be wise as well. But if I'm going to be wise, I've got to hear counsel. And not just hear it, listen, actively listen, and open my heart and my mind for what God has for me through His Word, in my personal study, through His Word, in the preaching and teaching of God's Word, to actively listen, to plug myself in, to make sure I'm asking myself, how does this apply to me? God, what are you trying to say to me in my heart? But not only that, I've got to receive instruction. God's correction is there. The correction is within His Word, and He'll use His Holy Spirit to correct it. And I'm telling you, we have to choose to accept His correction in our lives. Yeah. Wisdom's valuable, far more valuable than $1 million. Wisdom is valuable. And if you want to be wise until your latter end, I'm telling you now, from the authority of God's Word, from Solomon himself instructing his son, hear counsel and receive instruction. I'd like to have every head bowed, every eye closed.